let's open in prayer, and then perhaps we'll pray for some of those more personal things at the beginning, and then we won't have them in the recording, what goes later on YouTube and all that. Okay, let's pray, and let's begin our time together. Dear Lord God, our Father in heaven, Lord, we do come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine that we can see that's beginning to peep out from among the clouds. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercies that are new every morning. And so, Lord, we do come and give you thanks. Lord, we remember like that verse in the Bible and that hymn says that great is your faithfulness. And Lord, we thank you that at the beginning of a new year, we can remember your great faithfulness to us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we join together this morning, a little bit restricted in this sort of way of having to meet online, but Lord, we pray that we still might know joy in being together, that there might be that friendly fellowship between us, and that love and kindness there. And Lord, that we might be able to meet with you, we pray. So Lord, bless our time together, we ask. Lord, bless us as we sing, and help us as we pray, help us as we listen to your word. Lord, we pray that you might feed our souls and do us good, we pray. Lord, you do want to remember some of our own. And Lord, we pray in our own different situations. Lord, perhaps some are facing a lot of uncertainties. Lord, we pray for the children who are planning, expected to go back to school tomorrow, and yet that sometimes seems a little bit uncertain as well. And we pray for those who've got exams and things this year and perhaps concerned about all the knock-on effects of that. And Lord, we just pray that you would give your peace and help us to know that you're in control in these times, we pray. We pray for those who have job concerns, those who have financial worries. Lord, we just pray that you might meet with each in our own different situations, we pray. And so, Lord, we pray that you might bless us in our time together this morning. Lord, move amongst us by your Holy Spirit, though we can't all be in one place. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be unrestricted by those things and would be there in our hearts, even in the different places where we're sitting this morning. Lord, bring your words alive to us, we pray. Lord, speak to our hearts and bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I hand over to Felicity, Felicity, I think, has got anything or two to share with us. And I'll click other people to mute in a minute. Hymn number 612. What a good place to start in a new year.
How firm a foundation.
Yeah, sounds great. read our reading for this morning. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 9 verses. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and the first 9 verses then. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though not for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's come and pray again. Lord God, our Father, Lord, we do come before you and ask that you may have your hand upon us. Lord, we do want to pray at the start of a new year, Lord, that you may guide us and give us your wisdom in the days ahead, Lord, perhaps especially in these next few weeks and months where everything seems to be again so confusing and unpredictable. Lord, as a church, we've had to move online at the last minute and not quite sure when or where we might be able to meet next. Lord, we pray that you would give us your peace and, Lord, that you would guide us into making wise decisions, we pray, in the days ahead. Lord, we want to pray for our government. Lord, constantly having to face big decisions and tough choices in what seems to be a rapidly changing situation, just so many difficult things that lie outside of their control. Lord, we pray that there might be a humility, we pray, from them, and seeking after you. Lord, even yesterday, there was an announcement from our Prime Minister that this is the year we're going to beat the virus. But sometimes those things sound a bit like arrogance, really, to think that all these things lie within our government's control and so on. So Lord, we pray that there might be a humility, a seeking after you. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom in making wise decisions, we pray, in the best interests of the whole population, we pray. Lord, we do thank you for the encouraging news of vaccines and so on being able to be rolled out. And Lord, again, we pray that if that's your will, that they may be really useful in combating this virus and keeping people safe from it. So Lord, we pray that they may be blessed by you, we pray. Lord, we pray for the uncertainty around the schools. Lord, we pray for the huge pressures there are on the National Health Service and so on. Lord, in such a difficult time, Lord, we seek you, and Lord, we know we need mercy from you. And Lord, we pray that there might be a turning to you, Lord, in the days of old when there was men stranded on the beaches in Dunkirk, there was a call for a day of prayer. And Lord, we pray that similarly, Lord, in these days, Lord, as hospitals are swamped with patients and there seems, humanly speaking, no easy way to fix this. Lord, we pray that there might be many who turn to you and call on your name. Lord, we pray that that might be true amongst those who don't even know you yet. Lord, that perhaps in their concern, maybe even despair, that they would turn to you, we pray, and that they would realise as they come to an end of their own resources that they need someone far greater and far stronger, that they might turn to you. Lord, we pray that in our own area. We thank you for those who received gospels and tracts and so on in the run-up to Christmas. Lord, we pray for many who've been in contact with the church over the past years and who've heard something of the gospel. Lord, we pray that even at this time that some of those memories of things they've heard may be awoken by you, and those seeds that have been sown may begin to grow. And so, Lord, we thank you that in the past, even in very dark times, you've used them for your glory and for salvation. And we pray that that might happen even today, we ask, and even in Ashbourne, we pray. And so, Lord, be with us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless us and speak to us, we pray. Lord, in these difficult times, Lord, we pray that we might find that hope that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, bless us, we ask, as we wait upon you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking this morning then, based a little bit on those verses we ran, but we're sort of more looking at a theme really than sort of looking through those, sort of unpacking those verses in particular. I've just given it the title, Hope in 2021. And that was my thought to be looking through this morning. So we're really sort of looking at the word hope, and there's a lot of mentions of it in this letter of 1 Peter, especially in the first chapter. And so we're going to be looking at some of these mentions of the word hope. Notice there in the verse we began in, verse 3, those verses we started reading, it talks there about God's abundant mercy who's begotten us again to a living hope. And that's what I wanted to think about a little bit this morning. I guess first of all we need to define what we're talking about. What does the word hope mean? And actually, we use the word hope in a couple of quite different ways. In normal usage, hope means, well, optimism in the face of uncertainty. If you had to define what most people mean by the word hope, that's probably what I'd say. Optimism in the face of uncertainty. So, if we talk about hope in 2021, you can, you know, in the situation we're in at the moment of rising cases and this new variant of COVID and perhaps months of being in various tiers and restrictions, people might say, I hope that things might go back to normal
in the spring or the summer. And when someone says something like that, they're expressing optimism in the face of uncertainty. They're saying they don't really know, but they're just hopeful, they're optimistic that things might be resolved in the next few months. Other sort of newspapers in the last week have talked about hoping to vaccinate 2 million people a week. But by using the word, they're saying that's what they're aiming for. But already they've talked about lots of difficulties and bottlenecks in the system. But that's what they're trying to achieve. And that's what they're optimistic that we might be heading on towards in the end if all goes well. You see what I mean? People use the word to talk about a lot of uncertainties that they're facing. People again have talked about that our hope is in the vaccines that are being rolled out at this time. But it is something that it's an optimistic idea that there's a lot of uncertainties and no one quite knows what the result of the vaccines will be and how long they might immunise you for. And also there's 101 different questions that people don't know the answer to. So that's how the word hope is used. That's how the word hope has been used in an awful lot of newspaper articles so far this year, hasn't it? But Bible hope is not like that. In normal usage, people talk about optimism in the face of uncertainty. But that is not what the Bible's talking about when it uses the very same four-letter word. And sometimes we mean it in a different way. So go back to before Christmas, and perhaps some of the children can think this through with me. If any of you were asked in the run-up to Christmas, what are you hoping to get for Christmas? Perhaps somebody asked you that kind of question, and you replied, oh, I hope to get a dolly, I hope to get a bike, I hope to get some Lego, I hope to get lots of chocolate. You know, you could have said all kinds of replies. But those things might have just been pure guesses. When you said, I hope to get such and such for Christmas, you might have been, actually, I've got no clue at all, but I'm a bit optimistic because I'd like this. But what if the situation was a bit different? Maybe your Christmas hope was not completely unknown. Maybe you'd asked your parents for something in particular. Perhaps you'd gone to them and say, this is what I really want for Christmas. What if your parents had promised to get it for you? What if you had seen underneath the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve a wrapped up present that was just the right shape to be what you asked for? Or maybe you had a little sneaky check of the present and picked it up and you rattled it and you felt what shape it was and so on. Then you could have said, I hope that I'm getting a bike for Christmas. But you actually mean you're pretty confident it's going to happen. Because you asked your parents, they promised it, and you've seen something that looks kind of right, and there it is wrapped up under the Christmas tree, and it's got your name on it, and it kind of looks like a bike, just wrapped up in Christmas paper, whatever it might have been. And then you're talking about your hope for Christmas, but actually you're pretty confident, aren't you? You know what it is already. And that's a bit more like the Bible talks about hope. Hope is a confident expectation. A confident expectation that we can have. And so look there again in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. Not just some optimism, not just some fingers crossed, as people might sometimes say, and not just a bit of a shot in the dark and, oh no, we're just trying to drum up a bit of optimism in so many uncertain situations. Peter says we have a living hope. So I'm going to draw out, hopefully, five little things to look at here. Firstly, then, hope's foundation. Hope's foundation. And it's there for us in verse 3. we have been begotten to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope that's come to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As Paul says in another letter, he says, if Jesus didn't rise, then we're among all people those most to be pitied, for we have no hope. Our hope has a foundation, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope's foundation, that we're looking at firstly, is in a risen Saviour. And so Peter can say in verse 3, we have a living hope because we have a living Saviour. And as we've already said, and Paul puts it the opposite round, if we don't have a living Saviour, then we don't have any hope at all. He comes back to it in verse 21 again, when he says, who through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so your faith and hope are in God. Our hope is founded on a historical fact. And we think of Jesus' life and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. Our hope is founded on the Gospels that we have recorded for us, the four of them here in God's Word, that give us the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, that tell us these things that have been written down and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So our hope is founded on these historical eyewitness facts that are written down for us. That Jesus lived, we've been thinking of his birth at Christmas, that Jesus was born, the things that happened in Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus' death is recorded for us in those Gospels, and him rising again and being seen by many eyewitnesses. Our hope has a foundation in a risen Saviour. But as well, it is a personal hope as well. Look in chapter 1, verse 23, where Peter says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We've been born again. It's not just that these things were recorded in an old book 2,000 years ago and that's tucked away up in some library in a London museum somewhere or some museum of archaeology. There's some old references to Jesus who lived and died and rose again. It's not just some stuff that was written down 2,000 years ago. But the word of God which lives and abides forever, and through that seed, we've then been born again too. And so head back to verse 3, and we're told there that according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us, or he has made us born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the living hope we have centres on two things. One, the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and as well, the fact that we've been born again into this living hope. So it's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's something that's happened in us and in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We've come to a personal knowledge of the risen Saviour. So hope's foundation isn't just in a risen Saviour. Hope's foundation is in my risen Saviour, that we've been born again into that living hope. And so we have come to have that knowledge of salvation for ourselves. Not just saying, yeah, we agree with some things that are written there in the Bible 2,000 years ago, but we hold on to them with that personal faith, that knowledge of salvation. And Peter comes back to it several times. Look in verse 18. Knowing that you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You've been redeemed. Peter can write to these people who probably have never met Jesus, as he says in those first verses. You've never seen him. and yet they've heard of him, and they still have that same redemption that's come through his blood. Verse 21 as well, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And so we have that foundation to our hope. And in 2021, that's what we can hold on to. Whether we're in tier four or not, whether we go into a lockdown or not, whether we end up in hospital or not, we have a foundation to our hope in the risen Saviour, in my risen Saviour. And hopefully we can echo that same personal knowledge for ourselves. Secondly, then, there is hope's focus. So hope is founded on these things in the past. And where is hope focused now? Well, hope is focused in a person. Look in verse 21, which we have just read. Well, let's read verse 20 so we just get the link of it this time. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Where's the focus of our hope? Well, Peter tells us there in those last couple of words we read, our hope is in God. Going back to what we were saying just before, when we have our hope in a person, that changes things. We were just talking with the children, weren't we? About, you know, if you've asked your parents for something for Christmas and they promised it, then you could quite actually say, you know, my hope is not in a bike or a doll for Christmas or a game or whatever it might be. I said, my hope isn't in that. My hope actually resides in my parents who promised it. And that's where the focus of your hope may be in that case of Christmas presents. And in all honesty, that is a different approach we take, isn't it, in life? For some people are easier to put our hope in than others, aren't they? There are some who are more trustworthy than others. There are some people, when they say it, we think, yes, we can hold on to that. And other people, when they make promises, we don't try not to get our hopes raised too much, do we? Because we have a pretty good idea that their promise might be a false one or one they can't actually achieve. But hope here for us is focused in a person. In the one person we could say, in the ultimate sense, is the most trustworthy person there. Our hope is in God. The one, 100%, trustworthy person. And that's the focus of our hope. And shouldn't that give us such comfort in these days? It seems to echo to me quite a famous psalm, Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Carries on in verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you. Verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Verse 9. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? And verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. There's someone who's facing some depressing and difficult situation, isn't it? And he says there, you know, he feels so cast down, his soul is all agitated, and he's anxious and afraid and unsettled. And so what does he do? He talks to himself. Often we think of talking to ourselves as being the first sign of madness. That's what some people say. But it's not here in this one. Here's this man who's in so much trouble, but talking to himself is actually bringing sense, isn't it, into this situation. And perhaps we can identify with that. Perhaps we're feeling cast down. Perhaps our soul is feeling disquieted. Perhaps we're feeling agitated and just thrown into confusion at this time. Well, we need to follow the example of these sons of Korah in Psalm 42. My hope is in God, and I shall yet praise him. We turn to God. We come to him even when we are anxious and afraid, as he does in verse 9. Why have you forgotten me? But I come to God, my rock, and say this. Because I know deep down he is trustworthy. I know deep down he hasn't forgotten me. He is the one in whom my hope is focused, because he is the trustworthy rock. And so I remember him, and I hope in him, and I shall yet praise him. And so that's the focus of our hope. And that's where we need to put our eyes, isn't it? In the year ahead, 2021, you know, vaccines may come and vaccines may go. Maybe jobs may come and jobs may go in all the uncertainties. Where is the focus of our hope? My hope is in God, says the psalmist. And Peter here says, all of these things, Jesus was a manifest for us in these last times, that through him we might believe in God, so that our faith and hope are in God. Third thing then, hope's reward. There in that verse we were just reading, he talks of our faith and hope. And the words are very similar, aren't they? Their meanings are very much interlinked. Hope, if anything, to make it slightly different from faith, hope has a much sort of greater sort of future sense to it as well, doesn't it? As we've been talking already, hope is that confident expectation and in looking forward. So if we look at hope's reward, look back in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's hope's reward. That's what the hope is. An inheritance, he carries on in verse 4. An inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefilable and unfadable. It's all of those things. It's there, it's certain. It's a confident living hope that we have. We have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, verse 4. And verse 5, we are being kept by the power of God for it. So God is keeping both things 100% safe. God has kept that inheritance for us, safe there in heaven. And God is keeping us ready for it. He's keeping both of those things. That is hope's reward. When salvation will be revealed in the last time, when that final salvation of us being taken into glory, there to be with the Lord forever. And yet at the time that we can go through verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Peter talks to the readers here of this little time that they're going through of trials. He seems to pick up various themes later in the book of how they're being oppressed and perhaps being poorly treated by their masters, their employers, perhaps by their neighbours. They're often being the victims of some hostility and the reproach of others. He hints that there's a possibility that there might be worse persecutions to come, perhaps in chapter 4 as well. But here Peter can talk to them about this little time that they're going through, these trials that they're that causing them grief, he says in verse 6. And perhaps that's again something that resonates with us. Perhaps the trials that we're going through, perhaps those who are grieving, perhaps those who've had real hardships to deal with. But Peter tells us, well, here these just for a little while, and so they are, even for us. We might feel like COVID's been going on for years and years, but it hasn't really. It's just a little while in the real scheme of things, isn't it? And Peter can say, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though for just a while you're grieved by trials. We can rejoice even in trials, because we have a reward for our hope. And verse 8, and that even though we haven't seen him, we love him, and we can rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Even if circumstances, even if those trials can be so difficult and cause us grief, we still have joy in believing. We love him and we can rejoice in those things, as we've been thinking already, that foundation and focus of our hope. And we have a reward. We will receive those things, the end of our faith. We can look forward as well to receiving the end of those things. And so that should inspire us to great hope, for hope's reward. Paul talks about similar things in Romans 8 and verse 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Paul's hope. They're focused on that reward, knowing that one day he'd receive the salvation of his soul, that nothing could separate him from God's love. And so we too can echo that same thing, that nothing this year in 2021 can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A virus cannot separate us from God's love. Whether we face time in hospital, whether we face unemployment or financial worries or whatever it might be, none of those things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even in the here and now, Romans 8 verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That hope we have, yes, is a confident expectation in the future, in that inheritance that will one day be given for us. But we almost have a taster of that inheritance now. And everything God is doing now, he is working together for good for those who love him. And again, shouldn't that give us hope in the year ahead? We don't always know quite how it all works or how God is using these things for good. But we could look back on the past year of 2020 and say with utter conviction, as we're given here in Romans 8 verse 28, that everything God did for us in 2020, he did for our good. Now, some of the time we might be left with scratching our heads a little bit, trying to work out exactly how that might work, but we know it is true that God is doing these things for our good, for our ultimate good. So we thought of hope's foundation, hope's focus, and hope's rewards. Let's look fourthly at hope's lifestyle. Look in verse 13, back in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There Peter talks about that hope you have in what's going to happen when Jesus Christ is revealed, that reward we've just been thinking about. So now what? What's hope meant to do now? And hope is meant to encourage us in a way of living. Verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be active. The ideas of someone getting ready to run a race. And so they gather up their cloak in those days and sort of tuck it in. So they're gathering up these loins, as it were, ready for action. Be sober, be thoughtful, be vigilant, and rest your hope fully. Have that hope fully in that grace of God. And hope has a lifestyle that it promotes. Because we have this hope, we rest that hope fully in God's grace. And so we're active, we're sober, we're thoughtful, we're on the alert. It carries on in verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance. We want to be obedient children because we have this hope. Verse 16, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges each according to his work, conduct yourselves through your stay here in fear. And so we live in the fear of God, wanting to do what is right, wanting to live in holiness. Not those old lusts we had before. In verse 18, not that aimless conduct you had before, that aimless way of life. Hope promotes a lifestyle, a way of living. Living in the fear of God, wanting to be obedient children, wanting to seek after that holiness in our lifestyle too. Comes back to it in chapter 2 and verse 9, where Peter says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We're the people of hope. And so it should show, shouldn't it? We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people. The people of hope. And so that should be seen in action. John has it in a letter a little bit later on in our Bibles. Everyone who has this hope purifies themselves. We who are the people of hope, that hope should be seen in action. It's seen in our obedience. It's seen in our lifestyle. And it's seen in our love for each other. Chapter 1, verse 22. Since then you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. That's the result that should have, being born again with that hope that we've thought of already. We should love one another with a pure heart. Again, he comes back to it in chapter 2, verse 1, laying aside malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy and evil speaking. He comes back to it in chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. And so there's hope's lifestyle. We who have that hope, as John says, we purify ourselves and we seek then to live for God. And so in 2021, as we think about this great hope that God has given us in the year ahead and in all the rest of our years of our life, we want to recommit ourselves, don't we, to living in that hopeful lifestyle with our eyes focused on God, thinking of that reward that we will have one day, living for him in obedience and faith, showing that love for others. Lastly then, there's hope's answer. One last quite famous verse in 1 Peter, it's in chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. There's hope's answer. There we're told that people will ask you about the hope that is in you. And boy, shouldn't that be an opportunity for us in 2021? Paul says in Ephesians, of those who are without hope and without God in this world. And that sums up the situation for hundreds of people, doesn't it, in Ashbourne and in our local area, in our workplaces. They're without hope and without God. But we have a hope in our hearts. And that hope should be seen, shouldn't it? In all the uncertainties and all the darkness and apprehension about COVID in 2021, shouldn't Christians be seen as being different? So that people would ask us for a reason for the hope that we have. And then we should be ready, shouldn't we? Ready to give an answer. Hope's answer. Those of us who are living in that hopeful obedience that we've been thinking already of, because we're this chosen generation, a royal priesthood, now we're these people that have been given such a hope by God, that should be noticed by others, shouldn't it? And so then we should be ready to share it, ready to speak of it. Again in chapter 2 verse 9, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. As 2021 begins, we should be those who are proclaiming that goodness, those praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ready even when there's opposition, as Peter talks about here in this letter, to give a reason for that hope that we have. That we might share that hope with others. And so in this year ahead, as we think of ourselves and hopefully we take courage and have our faith encouraged as we think of Bible passages like this, that should also then spur us on, shouldn't it, to want to share that hope with those who have none. Paul talks about that we don't grieve like those who have no hope. But that's what we're seeing around us, isn't it? Those who are grieving with no hope. And we want to be those who are sharing that answer, hope's answer, with others. With those who are in darkness, sharing that light, sharing that genuine hope that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So hopefully that's encouraged us in the year ahead to step out in faith and with rejoicing too, thinking hope's foundation, those historical facts of the Lord Jesus and our faith in him, hope's focus, that our hope is placed in the trustworthy person of our God and Father, hope's reward, looking forward to a certain and a good future that is ahead for us, and how God is doing all things for our good, that hope should inspire us to live a different lifestyle and to be ready with an answer to share. Let's close by singing our last hymn. So back over to Felicity. It's number 631 if you want to follow it in a hymn book. Thank you.
Lord God, our Father, Lord, we thank you for those of us who are your people, that we know that all is well. It's well with our souls. Even when the storms and billows come against us, Lord, we thank you that we can know of that hope that is anchored there in heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that you would, as the year begins with so many uncertainties, Lord, that you might fill us with hope. Not some vague optimism, but that real steady, concrete expectation in all that you have done, that's in your character, in those trustworthy promises that you make, and in that reward that you've promised us. So, Lord, we thank you that you are working out all things for our good. And so, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your hope, that it might be seen in our lives and that it might be seen in our answers when we speak to others as well. Lord, we pray that you might be at work sharing that hope to those who do not know you and do not know hope. So, Lord, we pray that you might be at work by your Holy Spirit and use even us, we pray. And so bless us, we ask. Fill us with that hope that comes from you for the days ahead. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Shall I split it into a couple of breakout groups again so we can have a little chat to people?